The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm joined this morning by Paul Hayes, CEO of Beach Hut PR, and Lise Hand, journalist, to look at all of the stories making the news, including the discovery that Taylor Swift is apparently no longer hot. Bruce Springsteen is an atrophied prune of a rocker. And the former head of the FBI is apparently hell-bent on the assassination of the current president. This all, of course, from within the head of the current president of the United States. Before that, text to say, on one of many texts on the topic, Anton, every single male Gaelic footballer and hurler, every single LGFA footballer in this country, no matter what grade or age, be it county or club, should refuse to play and go on national strike in solidarity with all of our camogie players. And the texter has gone on to say, that, by the way, is a direct copy and repeat of the message I sent to the show last weekend, and I can't believe 7 days later it's still going on. It's a fair point, Lisa. Seven days later, we're still exactly where we were, no movement.
It's absolutely insane. The fact that this story is still, the fact is the story at all is just beyond comprehension to me. First time this story hit the headlines, I literally checked the date to see, were we talking about, you know, 1925, because this story has no place in modern Ireland. I mean, you know, you can make all the arguments you like, but essentially at the bottom line of this, it goes back to, this is all about choice. It literally is. You can strip away every single thing, and every single argument in Ireland that involves women involves, you know, them trying to be given a choice in anything, whether it's reproductive rights, whether it is, you know, working hours, whatever. It's about literally sort of standing up to what is institutionalized patriarchy and saying, we're not just having anybody dictate what we do anymore. And, you know, and it goes back to that awful sort of insidious thing where, you know, the anybody who runs out in the camogie field, any sports woman is still seen as a woman as opposed to an athlete, right? So it all goes back to their body shape. And we've seen this time and time again. We saw, you know, we've seen particularly, say, in on the tennis courts, we've seen many battles over the years. I mean, we go back, there's a really interesting piece actually in the Irish Independent today, which literally goes back to the whole battle of women and being taken apart for their sports attire and so on. And, it points out in 2018, Serena Williams, she appeared on tennis court at Roland Garros wearing a Nike full black bodysuit and was excoriated. And the reason she was wearing it was to try and prevent post-birth clotting, blood clotting. So not instead of you know, actually celebrating this woman having had a baby and competing at the highest level, it was like, no, you can't go around like Catwoman. We can, you know, we can see your body parts. Oh, my God. So, you know, we're really like start looking at women as athletes. And I actually agree with your listener there. I think I would love to see every hurling team, male hurling team, turn out in skorts this weekend. Why not? I mean, why
well, it was the point that I thought was interesting that Niamh Rockett made earlier on, where she was saying that the thing of, you talk about the elite nature of their athleticism, they had carb loaded, they were all ready to go and be, so not only did it mean that the game was cancelled, they then had to do a 2-hour training session to burn off all of the calories that they had taken, and now they don't know when they're meant to be getting back onto the nutrition and training because they don't even have a date for when the final's going to be.
Well, I mean, this is it. I mean, the ludicrous nature of the whole thing was summed up in a great piece in the Irish Times during the week where they pointed out a photograph, and it was, I'm sure it was great, and it was the, it was a photograph which literally showed the Dublin and Kilkenny team captains having a fight with the referee, and the referee is standing between them in shorts. And it just really sort of summed up the nature of the ridiculousness of the whole situation.
Paul, this is your bailiwick. Give us a sense then of the public relations implication of this, because the one thing that I assume if you are AIB, if you are Harvey Norman, if you are Glenn Dimplex, you get involved because you want a positive halo effect from being associated with the sport. You want like a hole in the head to be drawn into a debate about women's clothing.
Yeah, I think this is a player power versus central council power thing as well. I like your idea of all skorts or no skorts. The men wear them or we don't. It's the same for everyone. Even renaming it, why is it camogie as a versus? Maybe there's a good traditional reason, but I think it just should be hurling or football, you know, that it's the same sport, to your point, Lise. Obviously, being a Hayes from Thurles, there'd be no GAA without us. It was founded there. But to go back to the PR implications, I don't think it's a I think the sponsors can be on the player's side, you know, in terms of where they're getting to, and they need to get there fast. It's just the GAA is a little sclerotic. It just feels Victorian, as the Indo referred to, and they just need to move faster. But I think the men could stand up here and strike a blow in solidarity with, because it just feels like a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a bum hijab or something. I don't know what the, you know, the thinking is behind it.
Can you see any good reason for not bringing the one thing I didn't understand in all of this is, if there has to be a vote, that's well and good. Surely it can be done virtually and fast rather than waiting 3 weeks. Or is there a good reason why it has to be that long?
I mean, every club game is organised by WhatsApp now. I can't imagine that, you know, Central Council can't set up something that's even the cabinet has incorporeal meetings, don't they? I like the phrase they have. So, I mean, and it also just doesn't seem that big a deal. Like, what a rock to die on. This has to be done fast, and it has to, and it will be. It will be.
A text saying, I'm trying to keep my teen girls in sport. These organizations should be focusing on this and not what is worn. Of course, the statistics, and we spoke to Anna Geary the other week, and she has been a strong campaigner in this area, but the statistics on drop-off of female participation in sport post the age of 12 are harrowing. And exactly that, I would have thought, should have been the focus. And on schools continue to require children as young as 5 to go to school in a shirt and tie. I would consider that just as bad, if not worse, than the ridiculousness of the sport. Thankfully, some schools are progressive and recognise the need for kids to be active and more easily in a tracksuit as a uniform. Even that, though, look at secondary schools for girls. They almost all require that you don't wear anything you can cycle in, climb trees in, play football in. Yeah, you have to be in a skirt.
You know, it really is. It's insane. And I think, you know, I keep going back to the word choice. And, like, you look at any issue involving women's rights or equality, and choices at the, is literally at the heart of it all. And if a girl wants to wear a tracksuit to school, fine. And I mean, there's also financial implications as well, because if you put kids in the, you know, some common uniform that's cheap and accessible and easy to use, that also has all kinds of good positive social implications as well. And, you know, this whole thing about, you know, there's no doubt about it that I think, you know, female participation in sport is enormous, because obviously the benefits of when you're in your teen years of learning how to be part of a team, confidence building, everything apart from the health things is so important. And to really have this, I mean, if you're 15, 16 and you're looking at this sport thing and you're, you know, 15, 16 year olds are clued up and they're going, this really is actually about my body and somebody telling me what I should and shouldn't do. Not a great look.
No, nor is the Association for Even Younger Kids, who are looking at that and saying, why am I watching something be about what they're wearing instead of their athleticism? Anyway, I wanted to get your view on this because I know that you will feel deeply passionate about it, given that you have the Bruce Springsteen duvet cover, you have the Bruce Springsteen posters in the room.
How do you know that?
You have served the show honourably in the past because of your fanhood about Bruce Springsteen. To hear him described as a dried out prune of a rocker, his skin is all atrophied. Don't know how skin atrophies, but Donald Trump thinks it can. He ought to keep his mouth shut until he gets back into the country.
This is just the maddest story. I mean, I've been laughing. I mean, it's so mad. I've just laughed. I've been laughing at it. You know, he decided to pop off on Truth Social. This is his popping off of Bruce Springsteen really goes back to Bruce Springsteen played a concert during the week in Manchester. And it looks like Angry Bruce is back because he excoriated before introducing a song. He excoriated Trump and, you know, basically talked about the dangers, you know, that America faces danger and, you know, to liberty and all that. Of course, Trump having the thinnest skin in the world, thinnest orange skin in the world.
It may have atrophied, I assume.
It may have atrophied. We wouldn't know because we can't really see what his skin looks like. Popped off on Air Force One and just literally, I mean, it was just, he called him he said the highly overrated Bruce Springsteen. He's just a pushy, obnoxious jerk. Now, there's a couple of things here. I mean, you know, when you think about it, Bruce Springsteen is 75, Donald Trump is 78, so 3 years between them. And Bruce Springsteen is fit as a butcher's dog. I can tell you this.
This is your innate bias coming in again, Lee.
Easy, Lee.
This is, I know it's early, and I just mean physically. I just mean I've seen him on stage.
Oh, we know.
I've seen him on stage. And this guy really still has the moves, whereas Donald Trump literally lumbers around like a mammoth doing, you know, now, an orange mammoth doing one.
You can sort of understand the attack on Bruce. I'm not saying it's legitimate, but Bruce did bring it on himself by having a go. How did Taylor Swift get involved in all this? Because he also had another cut at her.
Yeah, well, you see, this guy, I mean, you know, another, you know, sort of aspect of his Mafia Don personality is he just bears grudges. And obviously, Taylor Swift has an enormous sway over her fans and so on. And, you know, any indication that she was not for Donald Trump went down not well. And there was great talk about childless cat ladies, Taylor Swift being unmarried and without a child through her own choice, obviously. But Donald Trump anyway decided that she was a childless cat lady. Taylor Swift retaliated by photographing herself with a cat. Anyway, he comes out and more or less probably on the same journey home, and said
she's no longer hot in block capitals.
She is no longer hot and hasn't been considered hot since he said, I hate Taylor Swift.
But this is just apropos nothing. While I'm at Bruce, I'll have a swing over here as well.
And there is absolutely nothing creepy about a 78-year-old man saying that about Taylor Swift. Like, you know, then again, this is the man who did call his own daughter hot. Look,
Dr. Freud to reception.
I am telling you. But look, you know, neither Bruce, he's not losing any of his fan base by this, because none of, you know, all his fans know that Bruce Springsteen is no, you know.
But how is that the case, Paul? I mean, this is a man who wrote Born in the USA. This was the absolute example of modern Americana. How does him turning against you not have any effect?
Everything with Trump is projection or deflection. So he was coming back from the Middle East with loads of baubles, but no actual achievements. So he deflects with Trump, you know, Taylor Swift, whatever else. He's a 70-year-age old man that wears more makeup than Axl Rose or Kiss at the height of their, you know, I mean, he's just projecting constantly.
Yeah.
It's also, I don't want to fall victim to Bannon's flood the zone, but it's just nonsense. And that's what he does. He floods the zone. So we believe nothing. We're now talking about it. And we're not talking about the fact that he went to the Middle East and picked up a free airplane and a few deals for his chums. And
I think Bruce Springsteen should lean into this. He's on tour at the moment. Yeah. So, I mean, why not actually rush release a load of T-shirts going highly overrated Bruce Springsteen and then give the proceeds to Gaza? Or, as somebody suggested online, Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift should actually do a live concert the same day as Trump's big parade. You know, this big parade he loves.
He's doing a quasi-military, like a...
Yeah, and I mean, this goes... I don't know if I said this on the show before, but I remember being in Paris for the big Bastille Day parade there. Trump is at it. And I wrote at the time, there's no doubt that Donald Trump is going to want his own shiny parade. So, I mean, it was inevitable. This is a guy who loves big machinery and all that. So they think the two of them should actually do a live concert the same day as that. Then see who gets the bigger crowd.
His bone spurs won't stop him from turning up on the day. You
know, now, at the same time,
the army.
As all of this, James Comey has managed to get involved. So we now have Bruce Springsteen, Taylor's. How does James Comey fit in this picture? This is a former FBI Director General, and the administration is saying that he has called for the assassination of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Which is a reach by any measure.
It's a massive reach. If you had seven arms sewn together, it wouldn't be a reach long enough. I mean, this is essentially happened when James Comey, former FBI Director, also who signally failed to save democracy back in the day, you know, but that's a whole different story. He posted and then swiftly deleted this sort of an Instagram shot, which featuring shells arranged on a beach to spell out 8647.
Seashells, not artillery.
Seashells. Oh, actually, seashells. No, that's actually, thank you for that. Yeah, seashells. But they may as well have been artillery shells, to be absolutely honest. So instantly everybody jumped on this and said that 86ing, it's used quite a lot. It's a term used in the States a lot. It means either something is out of stock or it's 8x6, which is the dimensions of your average coffin. And 8647 obviously standing for the 47 president. So they said that this was actually, you know, well, MAGA went mad and said this is James Comey, you know, trying to say that Trump should be assassinated. He claims, of course, that he came across this arranged on the beach, thought it was funny, and decided to post it. Now, whether the shells were there or whether he decided to get artistic is a moot point. He should know that Donald Trump and MAGA are after his blood, and he anyone who has crossed Donald Trump, unfortunately, needs to be really careful and not give them any kind of ammunition to basically unleash the hounds. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard has come out and literally said that James Comey should be jailed for issuing a hit on the president. So,
and now the Secret Service are investigating.
And now the Secret Service now James Comey voluntarily went and talked to Secret Service.
But isn't
for an
that
hour.
The problem that it's basically, you know, the bar is lowered so much when you look at his cabinet, when you look at everything that he does. It's like we've all just been dragged down. We shouldn't accept the premise of being dragged to the stupidest end of the internet.
Do me one favor, Paul. Just sit on that mic a bit. The Children's Hospital, by the way, we should come to stories close to home. Further delays till.
Yeah, basically, unless you're Steve Jobs and Tim Cook, don't ever build anything with curved windows, seems to be the thing, because now everything inside has to be curved to fit it. But look, it's going to be great. It's like the Lewis. When it's there, it'll be the best thing ever, and hopefully they can just get it in gear. We just don't know how to build things. I don't know what's wrong. We're not serious people, but we need to, and please God, it'll be open at least by September.
I think it just shows time and time again, though, that anything to do with public procurement, the government are absolutely terrible at it. I mean, they really are. I mean, this goes back to, again, I remember doing various thunders in various newspapers about how could they construct a Lewis and not join the two lines up. I mean, if there is an actual metaphor and literal metaphor for lack of joined up thinking, that was it. And
I can feel somebody in Lewis typing that the lines do join and giving us a long explanation of that fact. So I feel like
they built them and they didn't join. The interconnector came 7 or 8 years later at the cost of $2 billion or something.
It's great that we have Kiwi now to tell us. We only believe things when foreigners tell us.
This literally is bike sheds.
We have grown up now.
The most important thing before we wrap up, are you horrified at our performance at the Eurovision? Are you stunned that a song dedicated to a dog that was murdered by being fired into space 50 years ago by the Russians wasn't compelling in the current market?
Well, I mean, actually, I would have thought it ticked all the boxes. I mean, like, for the sheer surreality and of it. The Eurovision is now, the madder you are, the more glitter you have, and the crazier stuff that you do on stage, you're actually guaranteed to get through. So maybe she just wasn't mad enough.
I say we get Paul Harrington, Charlie McGettigan back. Get them just to do a reprise.
Johnny Logan.
To work.
Yeah, Johnny Logan. Yeah, why not?
Lise, thank you so much. Lise Hand, journalist. Likewise, thank you to Paul Hayes, CEO of Beach Hut PR.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.